Rich, I want to thank you again for the quick turnaround on that letter. Greatly appreciated that for you and staff. It was such a last minute request.
Oh, not a problem. You know, I hope I'm just not double dipping, because a lot of people have been asking me for, I know it's sort of regional too, but I hope I'm not helping your competitors.
No.
What do you think the likelihood is that you guys will get the grant?
It's always up in the air, right? Just got to keep pushing for it and never end. I mean, we've had at the city taking us 3 and 4 times before we've finally been successful. But this is a game changer when it comes to air quality and
pro temp. To run the special meeting, so anybody can nominate anybody else to be the chair pro tem. Part of your regular meeting is to elect the chair and vice chair for the coming year. I'll just point out that the budget nominating committee recommended that Director Friend be the chair for the coming year, so it might be appropriate to entertain a motion to make him the chair pro tem to get things rolling here.
LaBarre will make that motion to make Director Friend chair pro tem.
Second, Kazmicki.
And we get a roll call vote on that, please.
Yes, please. All right. Director Brown.
Aye.
Let's see. Director Cummings.
Aye.
Director Kazmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director LaBarre.
Aye.
Director Morales. Absent. Director Lopez. Absent. Chair McShane. Absent. Director Eskew. Absent. Director Church. Absent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6 approved unanimously.
Thank you, Siri. And Chair, it's now appropriate for you to call to order the special meeting.
Thank you, Les. I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District Board of Directors. If we could begin with a roll call, please.
Will do, sir. Director Kazmicki.
Here.
Thank you. Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Morales. Director Lopez. Absent. Director LaBarre.
Present.
Chair McShane. Absent. Director Eskew. Absent. Director Church. Absent. Director Cummings.
Here.
Thank you. Director Brown.
Here.
Director Friend.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you, Siri. We'll begin the agenda with item 3 for the special meeting, which is to receive a report on the status of AB 361 and the requirements for continued remote meetings after October 1st, 2021, and approve the continued remote meeting for the next 30 days. We have a recommended action and a brief report. Mr. Stedman, do you want to provide a brief overview of something here?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Consistent with the requirements of AB 361, findings need to be consistent with the fact that we still have a proclamation by the governor of an emergency relative to COVID-19, and that the Monterey County Health Officer is recommending that all public meetings occur with best practices and social distancing considered for those meetings. So with those, there's a green light to proceed should you decide to have this meeting and the next meeting held via Zoom.
Thank you, Mr. Sebner. Do any directors have any questions on this procedural matter? Seeing none, is there any member of the community that would like to address us?
Chair, if I could just point out real quick that I'm sorry if Mr. Stedman mentioned it, but the governor has indicated that he has not indicated he is going to change his mind about terminating the emergency at the end of this month. So this will be the last time you'll be able to make the AB 361 findings, and your next meeting will be in person unless one of the AB 2449 exceptions applies, which will be rare. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. All right. So any member of the community like to address us? Seeing none, is there a motion from a board member? Director Brown?
I'll move the item.
Is there a second?
Second. Kosmicki.
Thank you. We have a motion from Director Brown, a second from Director Kosmicki. If we could have a roll call, please.
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Cummings?
Aye.
Director Kosmicki?
Aye.
Director Carbone?
Aye.
Director Friend?
Aye.
Director Labar?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Approved unanimously.
Thank you. We'll move on to the last item of the special meeting. And as a reminder, to stay on the same link for the regular Board of Directors meeting, but this is item 4, which is accept and file a summary of actions for the Board of Directors special meeting of December 21st, 2022. This is pretty self-explanatory. Do any directors have any questions on this item? Seeing none, as any member of the community would like to address us?
No one present and nothing received at the district office.
All right, we'll close public comment and bring it back for action. Is there a director like to make a motion?
I would like to recommend action to accept and file the report.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Brown. We have a motion from Director Carbone, a second from Director Brown, and a roll call, please.
All right. Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Cummings.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
And 6. Approved unanimously.
All right. And so the last item here is public comment. Any member of the community can address us on items that are not on today's agenda, but within the purview of this body for the special meeting specifically. Is there any member of the community that would like to address us? I'm seeing none. All right.
Nothing received.
Thank you. So we will adjourn the special meeting. And if all of you could stay on the line here, and we will reconvene in the regular meeting. All right, Siri, do you need to finish the recording and restart, or can we just continue on?
You can continue on and start this meeting.
Great. I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled Monterey Bay Air Resources District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, February 15th, 2023. We actually begin these meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance. Director Carbone, would you mind leading us in the pledge?
I would be happy to. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Carbone.
You're most welcome.
If we could begin, Siri, with a roll call, please, for the regular Board of Directors meeting.
All right. I will start with Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Morales. Director Friend.
Here.
Director Labar.
Present.
Director Lopez. Holding absent. Chair McShane. Absent. Director Eskew. Absent. Director Church. Absent. Director Cummings.
Here.
Thank you. Director Brown?
Here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have quorum, sir.
Thank you, Siri. We'll move on to the welcome of new members of the Board of Directors. Supervisor Church and Councilmember Morales aren't here, so we're not obligated to say nice things about them. But however, we are obligated to say nice things about Supervisor Cummings, who is here. And we'd like to welcome Supervisor Cummings. And let me just briefly say, and then I would like to open it up to you, Justin, for some additional commentary. But Supervisor Cummings comes to us with probably one of the most extensive environmental-based backgrounds of any director, at least that I've served with on this body for the last 11 years. So I think that we're very fortunate to have his professional and academic background coming in and representing Santa Cruz County on this body. So Supervisor Cummings, welcome. If you wouldn't mind taking a few seconds to introduce yourself to this regional body.
Great, thank you, Chair. And thank you all for having me. My name is Justin Cummings. I'd served 4 years in Santa Cruz City Council and served as mayor of Santa Cruz in 2020 prior to being elected to serve on the County Board of Supervisors. And in my professional career, I have a PhD in ecology and evolutionary biology from UC Santa Cruz and over 20 years of experience learning, researching, and teaching in the environmental sciences. And prior to getting into government, most recently I was working on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, trying to increase diversity in the field of environmental conservation and also in tech around the use and application of drones for good, mostly for environmental monitoring. So hoping that some of my expertise can be of use on this body, and look forward to working with all of you.
Great, welcome. We're lucky to have you, and we'll move on to item 5, which is the election of the 2023 Board of Directors Chair and Vice Chair. The Budget Personnel Nominating Committee did meet and recommended for both the Budget Personnel Nominating Committee and this body that the chair be myself, and that the vice chair be Supervisor Chris Lopez from Monterey County. I've had the good fortune of serving as chair on this body, I don't know, a few times before in the last 11 years or so. And I was informed by Rich that I'm now the oldest tenured member on this body now. And so my hair is going gray because of the work that we've done here over the last decade plus. So those were the nominations. However, this body does not need to necessarily accept those nominations if you have an alternate nomination, or you may move the recommended actions from the Budget Personnel and Nominating Committee. So this is an opportunity for directors to either make a motion in regards to this or make comments or alternate motions.
I would move the nomination of Director Friend as chair and Director Lopez as vice chair.
I'll second that.
All right, and I recognize I hadn't afforded the opportunity for members of the community to address us yet on this item. So before we vote, is there any member of the community that would like to address us on this item?
No one on virtually, and nothing received at the district office.
Thank you, Siri. Are there any alternate nominations beyond the slate that was nominated? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion from Director Brown and a second from Director Kosmicki for the recommended actions from the Budget Personnel and Nominating Committee for myself as chair and Supervisor Lopez as vice chair for this year. If we could have a roll call on that, please.
All right. Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Cummings.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Carbone?
Aye.
Director Friend?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Approved unanimously. Congratulations.
Thank you. Already looking forward to Chris being chair next year. So we'll make sure to get that seated in. Moving on to public comment, this is an opportunity for members of the community to address us on items that are not on today's agenda but within the Air District's purview. Are there any members of the community that would like to address us today?
Nothing received at the district office, nothing virtually.
Great. We will close public comment and move on to the committee reports. As I mentioned earlier, the Budget, Nominating, and Personnel Committee did meet. We reviewed OPEB and trust and pension accounts for the last quarter. We also received the Monterey County Treasurer's Report of Investments for the last quarter and a report regarding budget revisions and items you'll see on today's agenda as well. Additionally, as part of that, any members that may be interested in serving on the Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee, technically the bylaws say that these are the chair appointments, but in practice, really, if you have an interest, just let me know. I believe Mayor LaBarre has expressed interest. We'd love to have him. Also, if you may be interested in serving as an alternate, perhaps you can't attend every meeting. We definitely need people interested in serving just to ensure that we have quorum. We meet immediately preceding this meeting. And once we're going back in person, we'll be immediately preceding this meeting right there in chambers at the headquarters there for the Air District. Does anybody, by the way, have any questions about the committee or have any interest in serving on the committee, just so we can get a sense on that?
So I would like to continue serving on the committee, Mary Ann Kirkham.
Wonderful. We'd love to have you. Mayor LaBarre?
If there is a vacancy, I would like to serve. If there isn't, alternate is fine too, but I will serve at the pleasure of the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rich, I think with Supervisor Coonerty and with Council Member McShane leaving, there actually were two vacancies. That's correct?
That's correct.
So I think that Mayor LaBarre, you could be a regular member, so to speak, which would mean that we would have an alternate opportunity for anybody that would be interested. And if you're not interested, since the chair does have full authority to do this, just know I may punish any one of you at any time and make you an alternate, Supervisor Cummings. So that way, hey man, we can always carpool down together, right? So I mean, I figured that's part of the deal. So, yeah. All right. So we'll consider Supervisor Cummings as an alternate. And just, you know, I was an alternate for Supervisor Coonerty for the last, however, 4 or 5 years, and I had to be reminded by Siri that I was, because I had never had to attend a meeting. So, I mean, it isn't really a common application of additional responsibility. But all right. So Rich, did the advisory committee meet? It was for 7B.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the advisory committee board members did meet earlier this month, and they received reports on our air monitoring activities and data and report on our engineering and compliance activities, both for the calendar year of 22. And you'll be seeing those reports today as well.
Thank you. Are there any questions from board members on either of these report outs? This is not an action item, but are there any questions from the community on this item, item 7?
Nothing received at the district office.
Great. All right, we'll move on to item 8, which are just comments from the chair and board members. Does any board member have any comments that they would like to make in advance of us moving on to the report from Mr. Stedman? Okay, I don't see any. Mr. Stedman, we'll move on to item 9, which is the report from the Air Pollution Control Officer. Feel free.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'll try to be as quick as I can. There's a lot that's happened because we meet every other month now. But first up is that our building will be re-roofed starting next week. So on Tuesday, they'll be starting operations, which we're really looking forward to. I just noticed there's a big stain above my head in my office. So we've got a bunch of those all over the building right now. This is also for board members. The Special District's Risk Management Authority is looking for nominations for their board of directors. The nomination deadline is May 1st, later on this year. So if you're interested, I'll have Siri send this out around to you, but they do provide coverage services for the district, and it might be a great opportunity to serve again on another board. So look for that in your email. And then this is also another reminder, and maybe the first time for some of the new board members, that you have the ability to appoint up to two community advisory committee members. So if you haven't done so, please do so. We've never really been fully at capacity for that full complement of members. So I would also say that we received an application. We actually reached out to the public, and we do have a citizen of the city of Salinas who's interested in serving. So there's nothing that requires you to have that person representing you live in your district or anything. But if you want to take a look at this application, please let me know, and then you could appoint them as well. It looks like a pretty good candidate. Also, on the other side, we're looking for two members for our hearings board. Hearings board does variances and is an independent body that helps businesses seek adjudication on decisions that may impact their business. For instance, if they have to shut down or turn off air pollution control equipment, they may look to a variance to allow them to continue to operate widely affect repairs. So this is pretty much specified in state law, but we need to have two new members for our hearings board, and one is a medical professional and the other is a professional engineer. So if you have anybody in mind, you know, a family physician or, you know, somebody that has a medical background in respiratory health would be really great. Please steer them our way and we can get them through the process. On another more somber note, we've planted a tree out front, and we will have a stone that has been engraved recognizing in memory Doug Wheaton, the previous air pollution control officer who served here from 1981 to 2008. So Doug passed away late last year at the age of 73. So we're honoring him with a memorial out in front of our building. Engineering compliance, we have open positions for an engineer and inspector. Application information is on our website. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but recruitments have been extremely difficult. We're sort of sharpening our pencils, so to speak, here and trying to figure out if there's a more efficient way. We're actually getting eaten alive on advertising costs. So we may be looking to hire a recruiter to tackle these positions, but typically we wouldn't need to do. So I'll keep you informed, but we've had one position, which is a supervisor for the planning section, has been open for several months, and we've really not had anybody qualified apply. One of the standing items on the my report is the marina odors, and this is to inform you that we've received 7 odor complaints since our last board meeting in December. And then we're also working with the city of Marina, who's developing an odor investigation plan, and they're seeking members of the community's community to participate and volunteer on an odor panel as part of the study. So they're looking at trying to identify the sources. There are a number of sources of odors in the area, from the landfill, digesters, composting operations, wastewater treatment plant, and agriculture. So it's a real mix of pretty nasty odors, and the public is pretty upset by it. So moving on, our electric vehicle incentive program is closed. I may have reported that prior, but we're looking forward to developing our program and refining it, and we'll be bringing that to you as we start working on our budget for next year, and hopefully we'll be able to put more money into that program. We're also, I may have mentioned this in the past, but we just received a $30,000 grant from the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association to develop clean air centers in our region. And these would be primarily evacuation centers that would receive filters to clean the air. A lot of the evacuations occur under smoky conditions, and some of the indoor air quality may be unhelpful. So we will have filters that will be available, devices to handle the cleaning of the air inside the building. We're working with Breathe California. They will be implementing the grant. We won't be doing much than just sort of working with CAPCOA to make sure these filters are implemented and get out in the field. And also we're working with the offices of emergency service to make sure that they know how to locate these and put these out there as we need them under emergency situations. The grant will also target locating these clean air centers in disadvantaged communities and low-income areas. On outreach, you may have missed it, but KSBAW last night had a really excellent interview featuring our former chair, Steve McShane, on one of our grant programs that provided funding to purchase medium-duty trucks for the city of Salinas. So these are electric vehicles made by Phoenix Motors. And this has garnered a lot of attention. In fact, the California Special Districts Association contacted me yesterday and wants to feature this project on their website and feature our district and the city of Salinas. So I've gotten a lot of really great feedback. And this is one of the first time we've sort of gotten in the middle between heavy duty trucks and the single occupancy vehicles. Now we've got light duty or medium duty trucks that are being outfitted with the electronics, so they're those vehicles are available to the public as well as to other fleets, public and private. We've also developed a clean wood burning page now that's on our website. We've also created a clean wood burning flyer, and that's also available on the website. And I thank Siri for that work. And then actually, along those lines, KPIG Radio was interested. I did on the air interview about a week ago to talk about how to burn cleanly in your wood stove, since that's a real problem primarily in the Santa Cruz and San Lorenzo Valley areas. And that was well received as well. Our January newsletter, Clearing the Air, is currently available on our website. And just to let you know, our diesel engine and equipment program, that's our DERP program, replacement program, is now working. We had a January 11 hybrid workshop here at the district, and online we had seven folks show up, and then we had 30 people participating by Zoom, which was a really good turnout. So we hope to get information out and get some applications in to repower and provide cleaner and zero emission vehicles and equipment to customers out in our three county region. We're also doing a lot of print ads about our programs in Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Santa Benito County newspapers. We're doing Spanish radio public service announcements as well. And we've continue our social media posts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, because of the storms, we've found it necessary to produce a new flyer to share with public agencies on storm cleanup. There's a lot of debris out there, including asbestos, as some of these buildings come down. And asbestos is a very hazardous material. We make sure it's assessed and handled appropriately. So we've also posted that information on our website, and we've got that flyer available there as well. We're going to be doing a ribbon cutting for the City of Santa Cruz Electric Refuse Collector on March 2. I'll be attending the event. I think I've got a total of 2 minutes to talk, so that should be really interesting, certainly shorter than this report. And then lastly, I'll just let you know right now, as I was going through some of my documents and our unification agreement. It looks like we're rapidly approaching our 50th year anniversary for the district, and that will occur in July of 2024. So we're going to start working on planning for an event to honor and recognize our 50th anniversary. So that should be exciting. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director Stedman. Are there any questions? Just recognizing also that we're limited on the number of people we have for quorum, and we need to get through consent, which are our key action items. So if there's any questions, that could just be brief. Director Carbone?
Yes, just a quick question on the 30,000 grant air pollution control filters. Will those be borrowed, or are those to be, are they for emergency situations? So are those going to be borrowed equipment, or will those be available for, you know, whoever needs them in an emergency? And also on the wood burning webpage, I know that we don't have grants available. Just checking for the wood burning stoves.
Yes. We're hoping for the California Air Resources Board to let the money come through. They're still working on allocation among all the air districts. We expect that we'll get about $275,000 for wood stove replacements. For the first item, those were for to be made available. They'll probably be stored by the Office of Emergency Services. They will be purchased. Those will be available to evacuation centers mainly, not to individual residences or public buildings. So they're definite purposes for emergency.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stedman. All right, we will move on to our consent agenda, which are items 10 through 18 on our, 10 through 19 on our agenda. Are there any directors that would like to pull an item from consent or have any questions about consent? Seeing none, is there any member of the community that would like to comment on our consent agenda?
Nothing received at the district office.
All right, thank you. I'll bring it back to the board for action on consent.
Move the consent agenda.
Second, Carbone.
We have a motion from Director Brown and a second from Director Carbone. If we could have a roll call, please.
Yes, Director Brown.
Aye.
Director LeBar. We'll come back. Director Cummings.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Chair Friend.
Aye.
Director LeBar, are you present?
Aye.
Thank you. We have unanimous consent.
Thanks, Mike. You're saving us. All right. We're just rushing through because I believe that he needed to leave, but those were our only action items. We do have two items on the regular agenda. They just don't require action of the board. So we'll move on to the first item of the regular agenda, which is item 20, which is to receive a presentation and report on daily 8-hour peak ozone concentrations, the hourly peak ozone concentrations, and daily PM2.5 and PM10 air monitoring data for 2022. Bill, I believe you're going to be giving us the report on this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, sir. All right. Let me make sure I got the right one there. Okay. Is everybody able to see the slideshow?
Yeah, Bill.
Okay. Very good. All right. There we go. Okay. Start off here. Oops. Okay. Here we go. Excuse me. Here's a map of the air monitoring district. The Monterey Bay Air Resource District is responsible for the North Central Coast Air Basin, which includes Monterey, Santa Cruz, and San Benito counties. The district operates 7 permanent air monitoring stations year-round to meet the regional minimum air monitoring requirements established by the Environmental Protection Agency and the California Air Resources Board. These stations are located in San Lorenzo Valley, Santa Cruz, San Juan Bautista, Hollister, Salinas, Carmel Valley, and King City. The National Park Service operates an ozone monitor at Pinnacles National Park to meet the EPA's visibility requirements for Class 1 airsheds. PM2.5 smoke is monitored at all stations except San Juan Bautista and Pinnacles. Ozone is monitored at all stations except San Lorenzo Valley and San Juan Bautista. And PM10, which is dust, is monitored only in Hollister, San Juan Bautista, and King City. All right, here are two external views of our two of our current ambient air monitoring stations. You see both King City and Salinas here. All of our stations are currently standalone structures. In the past, we have also rented office spaces and small commercial buildings where we have also set up air monitoring stations. All right, here we see the front and back sides of a gas analyzer rack found inside of most of our stations. This is inside the Salinas station where oxides of nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and ozone are monitored. Salinas is also the only station where we monitor NOx and CO. The Partisol monitor on the right here, it's the kind of on the right side of the picture group, is an example of a PM2.5 monitor, and this one is found only at the Salinas station. Pollution is a byproduct of human activities and natural events, and controls are in place to try to keep pollution within acceptable limits, which are set out in the state and federal ambient air quality standards shown here. Attainment or non-attainment status for a regulatory agency is decided on whether the pollutants in that agency's jurisdiction fall within these standards each calendar year. This year, 2023, the EPA wants to change the annual PM2.5 standard. You see it in red under fine particulate matter from an annual average of 12 micrograms per cubic meter to 10 micrograms cubic meter, and is currently undergoing the process or a review process to do so. All right, the Monterey Bay Air Resources District is currently in attainment for both state and federal ozone standards, which include the 1 hour standard and both the 8 hour state and federal standards. The district is also currently in attainment for both the state and federal PM2.5 standards. The Monterey Bay Air Resources District is currently in non-attainment for the state PM10 standards. This graph shows the typical annual cycle of exceedances in the spring and summer, which are caused typically by wind-driven dust up the Salinas Valley. There's also a spike in the Hollister PM10 in early June, which came from a large-scale housing development adjacent to the air monitoring station. Let me just make sure that, yeah. And here we have a picture of a Clarity sensor, which is a low-cost particulate monitor sensor, which has its own battery and solar panel and a cellular connection. These sensors can be put up anywhere there is cellular service and can be set up and put in service in minutes. Oops. The district has a smoke monitoring network of 30 sensors in order to have a more extensive coverage and a more rapid response to fire incidents than our 7 station regulatory network can provide. This allows us to see the impacts of local fires in areas that might not be seen by the regulatory network. And that is it. Does anyone have any questions?
Are there any questions from directors? I don't see any.
Thing received here.
All right, there's nothing from the community, but deep appreciation for the informative presentation. And also for providing clarity on the few anomalies on the final graph. That was helpful.
So all right. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Moving on to item 21, that was a non-action item. This is also a non-action item, which is receive a presentation on calendar year 2022 engineering and compliance activities. And for this, we have our engineering compliance manager, Ms. Climo, please.
Good afternoon, directors. I'm Amy Climo. I'm the engineering compliance manager here at MBARD. And I'm going to just go over our activity data from calendar year 2022. And we provide this report to the board every year in February. It used to be a monthly item on the consent, and we've switched it several years ago. And so we give you the annual report. And so I'm just going to give an overview of what we do in engineering compliance and discuss the data. And so on our engineering side, we review permit applications and make sure that they're equipment can meet federal, state, and local regulations. And then those, a permit is issued with operating conditions to ensure those regulations are followed. And then we may develop rules and regulations as needed. And then we also report annual stationary source emission inventory data to the California Air Resources Board. So in your board agenda packet report, there was a table of data, and this is just a look at, we register agricultural diesel engines, and those may provide power, for example, an irrigation pump. And we just had a few of those last year, three. Title V permits, we issued three, and two of those three were brand new Title V permits. One was issued to Constellation Winery, and one was issued to Monterey One Water. Emission reduction credits, we just had activity and one record for that. And then we had 163 startup inspections. And that's part of, I'm going to go into a little more detail on some of this data. So a bulk of the work that our engineers do is receiving those permit applications and reviewing them. And so we receive an application, the engineer reviews it, as I mentioned, for compliance with rules and regulations. And then they issue something called an authority to construct. And this is saying your equipment can meet all the rules and regulations. Now you can go ahead and install it. And then once that is installed, they reach back out to the engineer and they come out and do an inspection to make sure that that equipment is what was described in the application. And if everything is good, then the engineer can come back into the office and issue that permit to operate. And so to look at the, I used our permit database. I thought it might be more interesting to have a few charts than just numbers in a table to look at. And so this is a look at the number of applications we received in calendar year 2022. So we received 308 applications. And as you can see, the bulk of those were administrative permit amendments. And those are change of ownership or if a company changes their name. So they're not really changing anything about the equipment. They're just changing something administrative. And then the next three primary types of applications we got were for emergency generators, miscellaneous permits, and vapor recovery. And so a miscellaneous permit would be something for a concrete batch plant, cannabis, fume hoods. It covers a wide variety of different types of possible equipment. And then vapor recovery covers things like gas stations, or if a city or county has a yard where they have a gas tank that they fuel their vehicles, something like that. And so what you'll see in the next slides as well is that emergency generators, miscellaneous, and vapor recovery are our top three types of applications and evaluations that we're doing. And so in 2022, we issued 177 authorities to construct, and emergency generators, those vapor recovery miscellaneous were the top three. And the difference here between an application, when you see that, it means it's a brand new piece of equipment that's never had a permit. And the term modification means that there is existing equipment and they're changing something about that equipment. So that's why there's some duplication you may see in emergency generators applications versus modification. And then finally, in 2022, we issued 251 permits to operate. And again, like the first slide, in terms of the number of applications, the majority were those administrative, change of ownership type, miscellaneous, emergency, and vapor recovery. And so once these permits to operate are issued, they get handed over to our compliance team. And they're the ones that on the ground going out and doing inspections to make sure that those permitted sources are following their permit conditions. And if they find any issues, they will issue a violation. And then we also have a separate team that addresses the federal asbestos regulation. And Rich had mentioned that with our outreach that we have about the storm cleanup and making sure people are following that regulation. And then our inspectors also respond to complaints. So again, here's some data regarding the number of compliance inspections we did last year, 1,253. And then for that asbestos regulation, we received notifications, and then our inspector will go out and do inspections of those projects. And then a breakdown is when a company, something unexpected occurs and maybe their equipment isn't operating for a short time period, they'll call and let us know. As Rich mentioned, we have hearing board that issues variance orders. We had one of those last year. And then our inspectors go out and observe source tests. So some of our permits require equipment to be tested every year, and they go out and observe those tests. And then this year, we also got help from a air quality technician that we share with the planning department. And her name is Kara, and she's been helping us do some inspections as well. And so I'm just going to go into a little bit more detail. Here's a chart. We got 239 complaints last year, and as you can see, about half of them are related to odor. And then the next three top categories are related to smoke and dust. So we get a lot of complaints about smoke from outdoor fires or residential chimneys. And then as I mentioned, our compliance team will issue violations, but we do have a less strict for more administrative type issues that may come up when they do an inspection. And so we issue something called a notice to comply. And that might be for something where they're not keeping their records correctly, and we just need to remind them to do that. And so that's what a notice to comply is. And then a notice of violation is the mechanism that we use that ends up in our mutual settlement program. And that's where we will assess penalties for those violations. And as you may have seen in your consent agenda today, there's always a mutual settlement item that will tell you what the violations were and how much penalties were received. And then in calendar year 2022, we received approximately $120,000 in penalties, and the majority, approximately 90%, were from private businesses. And then this is just the sort of the 10-year summary of a lot of these data points. In the very top dotted blue line is the total number of permits. And you can see over the past 10 years, this has been a very steady workload. We've consistently had approximately 3,000 permits back to 2013. The three lines at the bottom, the green, the purple, and the red, those are the number of permit applications we've received, the number of permits issued, and the number of complaints. And again, you can see fairly flat line that we have, a very flat workload over the last 10 years, which is why we're trying to get the word out. We have two positions open because we have plenty of work here to do. And then that middle blue dashed line is the number of inspections that each year. And that line has a lot more variability, because as soon as you take away one inspector, you're taking out 200 to 300 inspections in a year. And so because of the way the chart is set up, that can really influence that blue line. So again, I'll just make the plug. Our website has those applications for an engineer and an inspector. And then finally, in 2022, we had our 1-year anniversary for a sale of permit database. And we successfully completed our first renewal process. So that's where we assess annual renewal fees for agricultural engine registrations, Title V permits, and emission reduction credits. And we've been continuing to do those Title V and emission reduction credit renewals monthly. And then the biggest efficiency we've seen so far is in our asbestos program. And all of those notifications are received through our online portal. And each notification will sometimes have revisions. And this past year, we received over 400 revisions, which is about, it's more than one revision per notification. And in the past, all of those 400 revisions were coming in primarily by email. And so now all of those are handled through this online process. So it's a lot easier to keep track of those. So we've really enjoyed having this new database. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you for that presentation, Ms. Klima. Are there any questions from directors? Okay. Seeing none, is there any member of the community that would like to address us on this item?
Nothing received at the district office.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Klima, for the presentation. That is the end of this regular board meeting, and so now we will adjourn. We'll see you at the next meeting in person.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.